Hayayim Kotzer v'hamalacha Meruba. So much to do and so little time. I am so excited. This Haftarah, we haven't had it for 20 years. Yes, it will be coming up another 3 years. It's extremely erratic. It is the most unusual year of Hanukkah. Hanukkah begins on a Friday and ends on a Friday. Then, and only then, will you read the Haftarah of Parshas Miketz. Otherwise, Miketz always becomes Shana's Hanukkah. So it's very, very rare. In order for it to happen, you have to have Rosh Hashanah be on Shabbos, and you have to have Chesed and Kislev both be a Chodesh Chaser. Otherwise, it will not happen. So again, it has to be Rosh Hashanah on Yom HaShvi, on Zion of the week, and you have to have a double Chaser, Chesed and Kislev. Then it will come out to be on Friday. So sometimes it could even be almost 30 years of it not happening. Again, it will be in 4 years from now. Again, there will be a bunch of years, and the last time was 20 years ago. So this is very, very exciting. I have so much to say. I've been waiting 20 years to say it, but I have so little time. So let's see what we can cover in Mirtz Hashem and try to discuss a little bit of the Chacham Shleimon. The Navi begins and tells us a wording which is very similar to the Parsha. And it says, Vayika Shleimon v'hine chalayim. Similar words we had by Pari in the Parsha. Vayika Pari v'hine chalayim. Which is obviously the basis for the kasha between the parasha and the haftarah. A lot more to add. So the Velt says of Vart, I wrote this before, Paro, after his first dream, he had this monumental dream which is going to change the whole position of Mitzrayim in the world, to become the richest country in the world, become the age of the great Mitzrayim Tkufa. And but he, after his first dream, what does he say? Yikatz Paroi? Ayisha, he went back to sleep. So this guy is so self-absorbed, great king and everything, but he's so self-absorbed, he has this such an important dream, and what does he do? He just falls back asleep into his tivus. But Shleim HaMalch, on the other hand, Vayika Shleim HaVinei Chalayim, what does he do? Vayava Yerushalayim, Vayamar Lefnei Arim B'S Hashem, Vayal Ergus Vayal Shlom Vayas Mishlecho Avad. What was his dream? So his dream, which is right before the beginning of Malachim HaMalch Paragimel, describes Kadosh Baruch Hu tested Shleimai, and then he promised him to give him great Chachma, a Lev Maven, and a bunch of other Dargis and Chachma. And Shleimai was so thrilled with his dream, he was so thankful for his dream, his reaction wasn't like it says by Paro, or by Ruchanetzar, but he put him, he threw him into a tumult. He had a Yishav Hadas from his dream. He was so calm, he was a Kadosh Baruch, he said, thank you, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, the other ones, Pari and Daniel, Pari and Nebuchadnezzar, weren't sure what the dreams meant. But still, Shleim, there's no vatipayim mucha, there's no hesitation. He goes with his dream, and he is thanking the Rabbi Shalom. He's thanking the Rabbi Shalom for what happened. Thank you, Hashem. That's what you do when you get something right away. Of course, I'm just saying it because I'm still in the Chanukah mode. So that is, Mirtz Hashem, we should continue with Chanukah mode the rest of our lives. So this is the introductory pasuk that Shleim now thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu for the wonderful new understanding which he had. Rashi brings it from the Medrash. Rabbi Yitzchak says in the Medrash that he immediately understood the language of the birds and the dogs and the animals. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu now wanted to show all of Klai Yisrael Shleim's new amazing level. They should fear him so that Malchus HaShleim can become very well established. So the pasuk begins us right away as a result of his dream. Two women who were zonis, the Targum Kedarkoi translates, it does many, many times in Navi, translates a woman that's a Zayin as someone that is mazen, that gives food. So they were innkeepers, according to the Targum. The Radak brings this. Shtayim and the Barabag. Shtayim Rashim Zayinah, it's Russian of Zayinah, is giving food. And they stood before the king. Now the Yalkut has a whole bunch of Shitas, who these two Zayinahs were, and maybe in 4 years, not today. So, Vatayimar Isha Achas. So the first woman begins to speak. We're going to name her today, for today's share, woman number one. Or maybe if it makes you feel better, we'll call her thing number one. But Taimer Isha Achas. Bi Adoini. Aniva Isha Hazois, Yoishvois Bevais Echod, Ve'ered Imam Abais. Please, sir, or Azab Shad, Pabino says, B means pay attention to me, my master. Aniva Isha Hazayth, me and this other one, me and woman B, or number two, Yosh Reis Avayis Echad, we were living together in one house, we lived together, we keep house together, Va'elad Imo Avayis, and I gave birth while she was there at home. Va'elad Imo Avayis, it wasn't the third day, but Helad Gama Isha Hazayth, she also had a baby. Vanach Miyachdav, in other words, number one is saying number two had a baby. Vanach Miyachdav Ein Zari Tanam Abayis, and we were alone, there's nobody else there. Zulasi Shtayim Anachna Bayis, only us. She's like reiterating that. We have to understand, of course, why isn't that part of her introduction? In the beginning, when she says we were together, Yosha Bayis Echad, should have said right away that there was nobody else with us, and she could repeat it if she wants. Why does she start to say we were in the house, I had a baby, then on the third day she had a baby, and then she starts describing how the house is empty, only those two. So Rita Shem will answer it soon. What does she want from saying Bayoyim Ashlishi? So somebody explained that she's pointing out that one baby is 3 days older than the other, and perhaps you, Shlaim HaMelech, are such a chacham that you can tell a difference between which baby was born a little earlier and which baby was born a little later. This is not being disputed. We don't find that they disputed which baby was older, who was 3 years older. So, Shlaim, you might be able to determine that based on just looking at the baby and that's alive, that's dead, you could figure out which baby was older. Continues the woman number one, continues talking, and she says, this woman number two, her baby died at night. Asher shachva because she slept on him. And the Radak and others say Asher shachva Allah, and the Barmina and others say Asher shachva Allah means that the reason why the baby died is because she slept on top of the baby. She accidentally killed her baby, suffocated her baby to death by laying on top of her baby. How in the world does she know this? Why wouldn't she just say her baby died, it had Chas v'Shalom, Rachman al-San Sids, or it died for whatever reason. So Adak says a bit of a tarz, I'm going to say something else. But talk on b'zeich halayla, now, number one, he was talking, she says, you know what number two did in the middle of the night? Atikach has benimi etzli, she took my son, v'amascha yeshena, and I was sleeping, I slept through this whole thing. Well, if you have slept through the whole thing, how does she know this whole thing? She figured it out, maybe? We'll see. V'atashkiveru b'cheik, and she took the baby and held it by her, and she replaced and gave my live baby she took, and she replaced it with his dead baby, with her dead baby. I want to nurse my baby in the morning. Baby's dead. When I looked at him carefully, I examined him, this isn't my son. I know my baby. This is not my baby. This is the end of speech number one from number one. But so she gave a whole story. Now by timer Isha Achar is the second one. Woman number two says, "Lai, ki v'ni ha'chai u'v'ni chameis. My son's alive, your son is dead." She doesn't say any more. Why is she so short, so curt? Why doesn't she, like, you know, say more? So, Mr. Shem, we're going to answer that question also. The Zaysay Maris, going back to the first one speaks up again, says, "Lai, ki v'ni chameis u'v'ni achai, your son's dead, my son's alive." But the Taberu of the Emelech, they continue to speak and argue and debate in front of the king. King says, "Zois emeres ze bni achai v'nei chameis." The Zois emeres loichi b'nei chameis v'nei achai. From Rashi, already brings. Chazal ask, "Why did she review? Why does Shlaim HaMelech review what they said?" So we learn halacha from here that a dayan has to review the tainus so that the different litigants can be confident that their arguments were understood. So that's why Shlaim HaMelech repeated. But we're going to say already another pshat like that. Also says, what's the pashup pshat over here? That's how halacha we learn, what's the pashup pshat? And then, of course, we have the famous punchline, v'yemer ha-melech k'chul ichar, bring me a sword, v'yaviyu ha-cher v'lefnei ha-melech, they brought the sword to in front of the king. The pashup say that he was holding the king, k'chul ichar, in order no one else should, you know, get a little out of control and do something before he wants it to happen. V'yemer ha-melech gizu v'seyaw ha-chai l'shnayim, let's do a v'chotzer v'sechai. Let's cut up the live baby. Let's split the live baby. So the woman who had the real live son, she says to the king, she felt tremendous mercy on her son. She's willing to lose his baby, but not for him to die. But give her, let the other one have the live baby. But don't kill him. But the faker says, "Gam li, gam lach." So me, so you. It won't be. Let's just not have it. Gzairu. Chop him up. Do it. Let's have mince baby. Give her the live baby. And don't kill him. So we figured out the right one. He imoy. The Chazal said, and the Mesachus Makis, he imoy wasn't just Shlomo saying, he imoy was a basko of Shemaim, saying that Shlomo had paskin right. And the pasuk finishes, and the Haftarah finishes, with everybody was amazed over the Chachma of Shlomo HaMelech, and helped them establish a kingdom that they feared him. So you want to actually discuss a little bit the Chachma of Shlomo HaMelech. The Abarbanel says that it doesn't seem like such a great, brilliant Chachma. Abarbanel says he's not so impressed that he wants to see more Chachma here in the story. And especially since at the end it says everybody was shocked, everyone was amazed, and they were impressed. They were scared of the king. They saw Chachmas HaLikim B'Kirboi. So the Abarbanel wants a little bit more Tifkite over here in this Pesach. There should just be some cute riddle which your 7th grade teacher asks you when you have a few minutes left of class and nothing to do, like some cute little riddle. But it should be something which is a very deep Chachma. So we'll also discuss in Mirtz Hashem, who was the real Mick mother? Who was the real mother? Was it number one or number two? So it seems to me that there is a machlokes between the Mefarshim. Who was the real mother? The Abarbanel and the Alshech and others learn. Let's say this right. They learn that number one was the real mother. The Abarbanel says she gave a speech because she knew the truth. Number two was about to say a lie, so she didn't give a whole long drasha. She just kept it short to the point of her shekher. Said, she didn't want to get caught up in a web of lies, so she just said, no, it's the other way around. But she wouldn't give a whole speech because she was scared she would get caught because she was lying. That is the shita of the Abarbanel. There's a lot of rises, so just say a little bit. At the end, the king says, after the king gives a psak, the pasuk says, "Vatimer Isha Asher Beno Hachay El Melech," the one whose son was really alive, but it wasn't the one that was holding it. Says the Alshech, "Vatimer Isha," the true mother, Asher Beno Hachay, the one whose son was really alive, because she was not the one that was holding, because her baby had been taken away from her in the middle of the night, and it comes out a tremendous thing. It comes out that the first one is saying the truth, and the second one was a liar, had done the deed, had switched the babies, and the first one just had to give her whole taina. And b'chayra, correct on the Abarbanel, we have a pirush of the Rif printed with the Abarbanel on Avim. He asks a very interesting question, which for those who are into the halachas and sugyas will enjoy. So we have a famous klal, hamoitzi mechaver olaverai, which means two people are arguing, the burden of proof lies in he who wants to remove the whatever they're arguing about from the hands of the other. So if this number two was holding a live baby, number two was holding a live baby in her hands, so what kind of riot does the first one have to go take out the baby? We just, the psak should be according to halacha that the second one wins. He holds the baby. And what's Shlomo doing? He's doing some type of yachloiku, Hashem oksam metalis. So yachloiku. What exactly is going on? And see, he brings amazing thing. The Gemara says in Maseches Bechoros, if two people are arguing over a tle, because somebody was mafkid, someone asked someone else to watch their sheep for them. So two people are watching, two people have a sheep, and Reuben gives his sheep over to Shimon to watch. Shimon now is guarding two sheep, and one of them dies, and they're arguing over which one is, you know, the live one, which is the dead one. So the one that's holding it, the guard, the watcher, the shimer, he gets to keep a live one, because somebody says, Chol Avaraya. But Taisus says in Perek Ashayel, that Gemara in Bechairis is only if we know that there was a cheskes chai, that the animal was alive. We can testify that the animal was alive for a time by the first one. The first one was actually, we saw that the first one had the animal before it died. then we say Maaseh Chaver Olav Arai. So that rule, that principle, Maaseh Olav Arai is only if there was a Cheskes Chai by the Muchzik, the one that's holding on to it. So he says a beautiful Vart. If so, again, this little side halachic point. Says if so, we can answer this kasha and answer a huge diuk. Why we asked before? Why does the first woman? Why does she only mention that there was nobody at home, nobody was there, till after she speaks about the second baby being born? So she says that the first one was saying like this. She says when the baby was born, when my baby was born, there were people there. People saw. I had a cheskes chai on my first baby. My baby had a cheskes chai. And then, continues the lady and says, 3 days later, the other woman had a baby, but there was nobody there. So she never had a cheskes chai on her baby. And she switched the baby. So now she's holding my baby, but she can't say Amaitzich El Araya on my baby, because she never had a cheskes chai to prove that she had a baby. So therefore, it's equal suffix, and the principle wouldn't apply. Let's go back to the argument of these two ladies. The Dubin and Magid and the Malbim both learn the opposite. They both say that the first woman was the liar. And this is based on the following deal. When the two women are arguing curtly, and when Shlomo Melech summarizes their words, so it says one woman says, Loiki bni hachai, my son's alive. Uvenei chameis, your son's dead. And the other one says, Loiki bnei chameis, your son is dead. Uvenei hachai, my son's alive. So woman number two first stresses, my son is alive. And then she says, and your son is dead. The woman number one, going back to number one, when she repeats her argument, she says, no, your son is dead and my son is alive. So are they first stressing their own live son, and then the other one's dead son, or first the other one's dead son and their own live son? So the Dubin HaMagid and the Malbim both say, this really tells us the opposite of the Balbin on the Alshach, and really tells us who was the real mother, the opposite of how we learned before. The first one that spoke was the liar, and all she wanted wasn't the live baby. She wanted that since, unfortunately, her son had died, she wanted, through her terrible kinnah, that the other one's son should also be dead. My baby's dead, we'll let your baby be dead too. So, the one that says, B'ni achai v'nei chameis, which is the second woman, she begins and stresses and says, my son's alive, your son's dead, because what does she want? She wants a live son. And that's what she stresses, because that's the truth, that's the main point. The main thing is, my son's alive, I don't know what's with your son. Yeah, your son, unfortunately, is a dead one. But she begins with her main point, B'ni achai. Then she says, "Uvnei chameis." But going back to the first one, "Bezay semer is loyki b'nei chameis uvnei achai." Your son is dead; my son's alive. Because that's the main point. That your son should also be dead, and that is why Shlomo HaMelech repeats it, and he says, repeats the words, "Bezay semer is zeh b'nei achai uvnei chameis." Bezay semer is loyki b'nei chameis uvnei achai. Because Shlomo is stressing that, guys, all you people here in the Sanhedrin who's listening, pay attention. Everybody in the court, pay attention. I already have figured out before my sword test. I already know who is the real mother. We figured out the one that says B'ni Achai and the other one saying B'ni Echameis first. You can see the answers that he's saying over to stress to show his Chachma that we already figured out who it is. And now we'll also answer, says Al-Shech, why it says, sorry, not Al-Shech, says the Dubin HaMagid, why it says Zeh B'ni Achai B'ni Echameis. The one that's really holding the live baby says, Zeh b'ni achai. The other one doesn't say the word Zeh. She points to her baby in her arms and she says, Zeh b'ni achai. This is my son. It's not true. None of this ever happened. And listen to this. This is so amazing. The first one that lied, according to Dubin HaMagid and Malbim, the first one that lied didn't even want the baby. She just wanted the other one to also be dead. So listen to what she says. She says, last night, the other one rolled on a baby and killed her. Why didn't she just say she died? Why didn't she just say died from sis, like we asked earlier? Parents sis, she's taking what she did. She really rolled on her own baby, and she's twisting it around, called a paisel, the word paisel, and she's saying the second one did that. And then she says, "What did the second one do?" In her alila, in her libel. What did she say? The second one switched the babies. It's not true. There were no babies switched. It's just woman number one's baby died. Why didn't woman number one Taka switch the babies? She didn't want to take the live baby. And the court, if she's stuck with the end of the baby, if it goes down, she'll have to take the baby, it's worth it for her, and the other one shouldn't have a live baby. But so far, she didn't even switch. So she makes up half a story. Half a sheker, half a emes. She says, last night, this is the sheker, the other one rolled on her baby. Not true. You did it. You killed your own baby. And then she said the babies were switched. Nobody switched babies. The other one didn't switch because it's a real baby. And you didn't switch because you don't want the live baby. And then, much to her excitement, Shlaim Alef's Pesach is like the best thing for the world. What does Shlaim Alef say? Cut the baby. She's like, perfect. Let's cut the baby. Because she doesn't want the baby and she never wanted the baby. That's all she wanted was that the other one shouldn't have. So Shlaim Alef, by repeating it, he's actually hinting to what the Pesach is. But everyone should realize it and get it. And those that did it, and to prove that he's right, he said, let's cut the baby in half. The Barbanel himself discusses Shlaim HaMelech's dream earlier, and Kadosh Baruch Hu promised him a chachma, and he goes through all the special things that Shlaim HaMelech got, chachma that nobody else ever had, and one of the things he says that Shlaim HaMelech got was he could be able to literally read a person miraculously straight through and through, and know a person's heart. This was seeing the person, just seeing the way the person acts. He says, normally not with a pasim like that. It says in the Torah, like Sakiru Panim HaMishpat, don't paskin based on Panim. Let the Hebrew Panim say, oh, I recognize his face. I see this guy's a Rashi, this guy's a Tzaddik. You can't go with that. But Shlaima was allowed to, he says. He wouldn't actually. So Shlaima, had that skill. So Shlaima knew already. He didn't follow through. He had to do his Kharif thing because he can't just paskin based on Panim. But Shlaima knew it from that. So he says, that's why Shlaima already, again, he learned the other way that the first one was the real one. But he says, Shlaima just already figured out, he was summarizing, saying, I know. From their behavior, from the reading their hearts, from looking at their, it's like the Rizal can look at people, Shlaim Alef, for sure good. I see, with my Chachma, who is saying the truth. I didn't put my hand and on their pulse and check to see, who give them a lie detective. I know this person is lying. I know this person is saying the truth. That's what Shlaim Alef is repeating, and that caused the tremendous Yirat Shemayim that everybody had, from from the Malchus of Shlaima, and that helped Shlaima establish his tremendous Malchus. So, once again, I would just add one thing, Shlaima Kluger also learned, like the Malbim and the Abarbanel, that the first one was the true one. He just says a little differently, that there's something called Tchvias Ayin. You can recognize, the Gemara says in Elamatiyas, and lots of other places, a person can recognize something of their own. So the woman that said first, B'ni HaChai, she says, I recognize this is my baby. I know this live one's my baby, and therefore I guess yours is a dead one. The other one said, I don't know about my baby, but I know that yours is a dead one. I recognize your baby, which is obviously giving away. Why do you know where the other one is dead? You don't even recognize your own. Based on that, you figured out that yours is alive. So, again, that's why Shlaim Alef repeated it, saying that really we have the solution. Those that realize that we already have the solution, who is the real one and who is the fake one. So, we spoke about a lot of different stuff and what the Chachma or Shlaim was. But like we began, the amazing thing was that he went and made a mishtah, a chalavadav. He says he never even made this title, this mishtah, which he had made. He never made this mishtah when he was appointed king, when he became the king, because it was just more chashav for him to have this chachma, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have this lev maven, this lev chacham. It was more important to him than anything, and he rejoiced about it. This was his reaction. L'hoyos l'halo, and Mirtz Hashem, come back in 4 years. Mirtz Hashem, we continue this year, a good Shabbos.